Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, and welcome to Contemplations. I am Josh, and I am joined by Callum.
Bonjour.
And we are going to be talking about how effective the Westminster parliamentary system actually is. And of course, this is the system of the United Kingdom and the parliament thereof. And of course, it is also...
The system, man. Literally, the system. It's
We're going to talk about the system, yeah.
Yeah.
And how the man's going to keep you down. But no... The Westminster parliamentary system is kind of known as the mother of parliaments because it is perhaps the first true parliamentary system.
Well, it's also because we took over that of the planet and all of
we spread
systems,
it around, yeah.
Yeah, they're all based off ours because, well, we were in charge and we were telling them, hey, if you build a country, do it this way.
It's also because it's the best. That's also why.
Yeah, de facto. No, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on whether or not it's like better than the US system,
well,
for example.
By the end of this, you will have an opinion because you'll know the details inside out. You're gonna know what works. Yeah, I'm going to force my opinion down your throat and you're going to agree with me by the end.
God, why are you making it like this?
Anyway, so obviously we're not going to be able to talk about everything in ridiculous detail and it's a very broad topic. So we're going to talk about mostly the important bits, the bits that are particularly interesting, but you're still going to have a complete picture of the kind of UK Westminster system that we currently have. We're going to touch on the history a little bit, but not very much. It's mainly focused on the system as it is today and whether it works or not. Obviously, historically, you could make some cases for it being better or worse, but...
I'm going to bring up the history a little bit, because okay. I wanted to moan about the fact that it's a meme. Like, the whole thing's a meme.
I think it's a little bit more than that. I think it did.
Nah, it really is a meme. Like, we treat it so sacredly, and we'll mention later about the House of Lords, for example, is the biggest meme, in my opinion. But...
I don't know.
I won't spoil it, so...
There's some pretty good stuff going on in the Lords still.
Yeah, but the fact that it exists is a meme. It's not planned at all, and that's the funny thing. And yeah, we keep it around. And it's like, well, it just works. I was like, well, okay, good enough reason, I guess.
Pretty much everything was, you could go back to like the Middle Ages. Did they plan to have like flat screen TVs? And it's like, well, this was never planned, therefore it's a meme. Like,
yeah, but for a political system, I just find it funny. It's like, there's no critical thinking about what would work or ideas. It's just like, well, I just developed and then we just kept it. It's like,
developing right. By solving problems gradually over time to create one of the most stable systems.
Well, no, the foundations. Because since we obviously debate these things and parties have ideas of constitutional reform and they have their reasons about why this reform would work, well, you didn't really have that at the start because it's not reason. So it's just, yeah, we'll do this. Yeah, it works. So we'll keep it.
You're starting to sound like you're just like, yeah, disregard parliamentary democracy altogether.
I mean, kind of.
And do what? Just
focus on the executive.
Just elect a dictator.
Well, it's kind of how we live anyway.
Well, I mean... People have called Parliament an elective dictatorship, but we'll get onto that.
I mean, the cabinet and the leader of whatever country basically runs the place. The mm-hmm. Parliament, even in this country, is kind of a joke. And that's my opinion so far. Try and change it.
I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. Change my mind.
So I'm going to just give you a very brief summary of the actual Westminster system, which the typical structure is you have a sovereign, which is at the minute the Queen. You have
the Queen.
You have a bicameral kind of legislature, which means it's made up of two chambers. That's what that word means. And there is an upper house, which in the Westminster system is the House of Lords, and a lower house known as the House of Commons. So the one I want to talk about first is the one that I think people understand perhaps the least, and that is the role of the monarch or the sovereign or the Queen. Whatever you want to call them. Too many words for the same thing. So, to quote the royal website, the Queen has to remain strictly neutral with respect to political matters. And this is something that I think everyone more or less understands, at least in the UK. I think Americans perhaps sometimes think that our Queen comes into Parliament and tells them what to do. And I think there's not really much of that going on. Because
she can. She wants to. But...
Yeah, we'll get onto the powers that she has. Okay. But I wanted to talk about the neutrality here, because obviously the philosophy behind it is that they don't want a monarch to be shaping the or influencing how the commons operates, because of course...
Well, threatens their power.
Well, yes, of course. The commons is actually elected, and therefore it is kind of presupposed that they have the mandate of the people. Obviously, I'm putting that in air quotes because I'm a bit iffy about that concept, but that is at least the underlying justification for it, that supposedly the commons has the popular support of the people, and therefore anyone interfering with it is doing something that is wrong and tyrannical, and therefore there is this convention that the Queen does not involve herself in politics, which I think is probably very nice for her, because she doesn't have to worry about all that annoying stuff.
It's also not really true. So,
well, yeah.
I mean, like, we'll get into it in a minute, but there's, you know, I did my video, for example, about the crown and the roles it has.
Mm-hmm.
There are the written powers, and I'm sure you're about to mention them, but the de facto powers, so she... has XYZ ability to do something, and she never does, because why would you put yourself in that position? Except when S hits the fan. Are we swearing contemplations?
Probably better not to, but I don't think it matters. Whatever. It's not going on anywhere over on our site.
When the chips are down, right, it does come a point where the monarch or the crown can literally just step in and be like, hey, by the way, I have these powers. And just by reminding people that those powers exist, everyone kind of falls in line. And mm-hmm. the best example I could give was the one I mentioned, which was the Cumra incident, for Irish, I don't know. And the British soldiers were given an order by Parliament, and it was distasteful because they were putting down their own allies in Northern Ireland, the Unionists, because they were being terrorists or whatever. And the British Army didn't really want to do that because our guys. And the War Office had to send a letter to them saying, no, the King commands it, and you swear your allegiance to the King. And then they just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had said, well, no, the Prime Minister's written that note, who cares? Well, Prime Minister. So
that's actually something I was going to mention, that the armed forces explicitly swear their allegiance to the monarch, don't they?
Yes.
Which is why they're...
Something I got wrong and I'd like to correct. There is no Royal Army. There's a Royal Air Force and a Royal Navy. The mm-hmm. Army is not royal because of Cromwell. And But they still swear their allegiance to the King.
Yes.
Or Queen.
But I think... just to give people outside of the UK a kind of idea, there's a lot of support for the monarchy in the forces. Every kind of person in the forces I've met, it's not uncommon for them to, rather than saying cheers when they knock drinks together, they say for Queen and country.
Yeah, that's the chant. But it's also a brilliant system, because you combine that with, as you said, the official role now being the monarch being non-partisan.
Mm-hmm.
Not really true, but who cares? If you want to do a coup in Britain, unlike most other countries, the army literally just won't do it. They will only do it if the monarch's on side with the coup. And mm-hmm. if she's not, well, too bad. Your coup's dead in the water.
Yeah, and I think there's an inbuilt element of our system where, because people see the commons as supposedly being their elected representatives, they don't want to overthrow it, because they at least are under the illusion that they represent their interests. Yeah.
I mean, like, we met Janvin Korwin-Mikke in Poland,
mm-hmm.
and he was looking at our Brexit situation, the fact that we hadn't left yet, and his solution was just find some generals and get it over with. But it's not possible, because you need her to be on side, and mm-hmm. well, she doesn't want to be. So,
yeah. So, talking about the neutrality aspect again, she has remained relatively neutral, at least publicly facing. Obviously, she has opinions. It's not impossible to be unopinionated, but... she's tried to keep a public face of neutrality. However, this was kind of broken recently to much distaste of many monarchists. This is a BBC article, which I imagine we'll have up on screen in the edit, but it's titled COP26, Act Now for Our Children, Queen Urges Climate Summit. And I'm just going to read a few tidbits from the actual article. In a video message, she said, many people hoped that the time for words has now moved to the time for action. She urged them to act for our children and our children's children and rise above politics of the moment. The Queen added she took great pride in how her dear late husband, Prince Philip, promoted environmental issues. So this is clearly wading in to politics, isn't it? I mean, it's Yes. In a significant way as well, in that she's trying to influence the outcome of a global meeting by releasing a public statement. And of course, she was there to open the discussion as well. So to say she is neutral now is not really fair.
No, well, she never was. I mean, no. This is the thing. It's a standard, but it is not one that is kept. In the same way, there is the Christian standard of morality for the crown, but it is not kept, obviously, because of Charles.
Yeah, well, it would be nice if she did stick to this standard. I think it exists for a good reason.
Survival of the crown. Anyway.
So by surviving, they have to undermine every principle in which we've outlined for them in the Constitution.
In my opinion, they're blatantly partisan. They have blatant interests because they always have and always will because of the goddamn crown. But they have to put on a public face, and it is probably right in this day and age that they put on a public face of neutrality for the survival of the institution. People will not accept a crown doing as it pleases these days openly. For some reason, but
for some reason,
yeah, I don't get it. But the stuff does carry on nonetheless. And I did have a link, and we'll have it in the edit, which is that there is a maybe reason as to why she was so open on this one. It is not just because, you know, she loves environmentalism or wants to pet Greta or something. There's a story from The Guardian in which they actually just released that, yeah, the Queen secretly lobbied the Scottish ministers at the meeting for an exemption under the climate laws they were passing. So the new laws coming in saying that if you wanted to have a property in Scotland, you needed to carbon neutral, like the energy coming in has to come from renewable sources. And the Queen got an exemption, unlike anyone else who owns land.
Rules for thee and not for me.
Yeah, literally. So, I mean, that's part of the lobbying. You turn up and you give consent to whatever stupid meeting, say COP26 is happening in Scotland and the Scottish ministers are all obsessed with it. Right, you go up there and give them a favor, and in exchange, you get exemption under the law. I mean, that's a way of looking at it, for example.
Of course,
She also abused her position. Did the right thing by law and practice, which is she asked literally to look at the legislation whilst it was being written, because she is weirdly involved in making sure she's up to date with legislation, which you wouldn't do if you were me or you, but you know, she does it. And she just looked at it and went, yeah, I want an exemption. So,
well... I too want an exemption, but unfortunately, I don't have royal blood, which is a shame.
No, you don't. We're going to have to take back your castle by force.
So, of course, she has nominal powers, meaning that they exist in name only, and they are both legal and constitutional, you could call them. However, sovereignty still rests with Parliament. Of course, the whole Brexit debate is we're bringing sovereignty back to Parliament, that whole line.
Yeah.
And of course, as we discussed, the idea of the monarch carrying out a coup against Parliament, you know, is not going to happen, basically. It's feasibly possible, but the circumstances would have to be so ridiculously different than they are now that it would almost be impossible, unless like the entire country collapsed, but then...
I don't know if you watched my video on it, but there's one instance where this might have happened in recent history. So it was, what was it? Harold Wilson was in charge, and being a socialist, he buggered up the country. And so Lord Mountbatten and a bunch of other executives, including the guy in charge of the Daily Mirror, which is, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. All got together and were like, hey, so he's bad. Coup. What do you think? And the rumor is that he was just like, oh yeah, base, I'll ask Liz. And then Liz just said, bugger off. And that was the end of that. But if she had said, nah, based, could have happened in the 60s or 70s, wherever it was.
We might end up with a better economy at the very least.
Yeah, so if we got another socialist and he buggered it up that bad, you know, 5-10 years down the line, new monarch.
Let's see what Charles's opinions on socialism are.
Yeah, well, go on.
How many helicopters does he have?
that's a dead end.
So, of course, something I did want to mention is the monarch is tax exempt, and this means that she has accumulated wealth of around 350 million, and I imagine by rocking the boat and getting more and more involved in politics, people will come to realise that she is tax exempt, because I don't think many people really think about that. But yeah, she has a considerable amount of wealth. She doesn't pay any tax.
I don't think she needs it though, does she?
What do you mean? As in, she's very frugal, yeah. She doesn't particularly spend her money, but she invests it in things. And I think the royal family has a rather large sum of capital as well. But of course, the monarch has vested interests. They have lots of property, wealth that they want to preserve, and therefore they don't want to do anything too stupid because there is a potential cost where, okay, maybe now you've been so involved in politics, we're going to start taxing you. And that would be catastrophic for their income, I imagine. So there are correctives there. But it's not particularly surprising that the monarch, who can be kind of behind the scenes in legislation, being able to read stuff and then make herself exempt, is also exempt from tax. I mean, I'm only a bit bitter because I'm jealous. I want to be exempt from tax as well.
I can tell the bitterness. It's coming through.
Damn it. I should have been born royal, then I wouldn't have to pay any tax. Yeah. It'd be great. So there is also a kind of monarchic convention of not voting or standing in elections. I think this has been strictly adhered to by the Queen.
I'm not sure she can as well, because it's her parliament, so it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a parliament in her name, technically speaking, isn't it? So it would be a bit strange that she would vote in an election. It doesn't make sense if you're considering it from a constitutional level anyway.
Have you ever been to Parliament?
I've been outside Westminster, but I've never actually been inside the building.
There's a neat fact about the inside. So, of course, what was it? Charles I dissolved Parliament, and Parliament's still bitter about that for some reason. And so there's different carpets for different sections. And if you go into the Commons, it's green themed, right? The carpets are green.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
If you go into the Lords, it's red themed, so the carpets are red. Behind the Lords, it's blue. And when the Queen comes in, they change the carpet to blue. Because the Queen, the monarch, the crown, isn't allowed in Commons without consent. But the carpet being blue is a symbol of, yes, you can come in and sit here and give your speech about opening it. But she never goes down to the Commons. She always stays in the Lords because, well, she goes down there.
Well, she opens Parliament in the Lords as well, doesn't she? So
exactly. But why not in the Commons, right? And it's because bad memories. To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.